Welcome, everybody, to the Boiler Alert Podcast. With you, as always, I am your host, Andrew Ledman.
And I'm Ryan Bonaparte.
And we're back with you, part of the Fans First Sports Network, to cover Saturday's game against the Fighting Illini. But unlike previous podcasts, no guest today from an Illinois podcast. Couldn't get any takers. And in fact, I reached out to a couple different Illinois blogs to do some Q&A on hammerandrails.com, and no takers on that either. I think they're scared, Ryan. I just think they're scared of us.
That or no one wants to touch this game with a 10-foot pole.
That's, you know, you have got the unfortunate position of you get to watch Purdue versus Illinois on Saturday, and then you have to watch the Bears and the Broncos on Sunday, which is going to possibly be one of the worst NFL games over the last few years.
I'm going to have blue and orange in my nightmares, no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, that Bears-Broncos game is going to be bad. I just have a very bad feeling about it.
Well, you know, football is to be played, and apparently they know how to sucker us in, because I will be there to watch.
Yeah, of course, so. You got to watch your team even if they're bad. That's what makes you a good fan, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
So with no guest from Illinois in the podcast today, we're going to do the second half, just Ryan and myself giving you a little bit of a rundown of where Illinois is right now, what they've done on the season, and kind of what we can look forward to on Saturday. But given that it is that time of year, we wanted to spend the first part of the podcast to talk about Purdue basketball. Are you excited, Ryan?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, so Purdue basketball started the official practice yesterday, so that would be Tuesday, September 26th, so the day before we're recording this. This will come out on Thursday. So what we know is that Zach Edey sat out of practice yesterday. He had a concussion, or I guess has a concussion. They don't sound worried about it. He should be just fine. But right now it's all about kind of figuring out roles, figuring out who's going to be starting, acclimating the new players into the squad. Only new additions, obviously, are Lance Jones and Miles Colvin. But, of course, we've got Camden Heidi is coming out of a red shirt, so we got to put him back into the team and see how he fits. And then Brian Waddell, of course, showed a real different side of himself in Europe, and he'll be fighting for minutes this year as well. Ryan, just kind of a general question before we get into it. Is there a player or one specific thing you're most looking forward to see this season for Purdue?
Ooh. See, my biggest thing is I think you want to see something you haven't seen in a very long time. You want to see Zach Edey get back-to-back National Player of the Years. I know how incredibly difficult that is. So I think I'm going to just go with getting out of the first round this year.
So you're saying, that's good. That's good. I think I'm going with something you said at first. You know, you always want to see something you haven't seen before. So for me, I'm really excited to see Miles Colvin play. You know, I think I'm like a lot of people who follow college basketball. I will watch clips of high school players, but I don't particularly follow basketball recruiting too heavily. It's a fine line I draw, because it's like I don't want to pin my life on the whims of, you know, 14, 15, 16-year-olds and whether they're going to come to my school or not. But, you know, once they turn 18 and enroll in college, then I'll rest my Saturdays and Tuesdays and Thursdays on them. But, you know, when you're 17 and you're still in high school, that's on you. I wait till you actually enroll at Purdue before I truly care.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I also state that I'm excited for Purdue to hopefully get back on the winning ways against Indiana?
Yeah, that will be nice. Yeah.
So, no Trace Jackson Davis, so.
Yeah, you know. I mean, maybe his brother who plays quarterback is going to walk onto the basketball team. You just never know.
Ooh, well, that'd be fun. Quarterback and basketball?
Yeah. So Purdue obviously has a very, very tough schedule, non-conference, of course. We go to the Maui, now Honolulu, I guess, Invitational, and just an absolutely loaded field. And so there will be early season challenges, and it's going to be a schedule much like last year's, where if Purdue can take care of business, they're going to have a really, really good argument for a very good seed come March. Because I think the
Yep.
assumption with this team is it's not will they get into March, it's not will they make it, into the big dance, it's where will they be seated and what kind of pathway can they make to get beyond, the humiliation of last year and reach for that Final Four that Matt Painter and Purdue fans so desperately are searching for.
Yeah, and it's gonna be a long path to get there. It always is, especially with the schedule you mentioned. But I think of all teams that Matt Painter has had, this one may look like one of the best poised to break through. Obviously, things change. We don't know how freshmen always turn out, or redshirt freshmen either. So, there's always variables. But what we do know that's coming back is, a loaded basketball team,
Yeah.
and hopefully you add more to it, and hopefully you add the correct, let's call it, balancing skill set that helps Purdue win these, these games that require just that extra little bit of like clutch gene that, not always necessarily there, but that we know we need.
Yeah. Purdue really struggled shooting the ball at times last year, especially in big moments. You saw it, of course, the biggest moment, the NCAA tournament game that we've discussed, ad nauseum. You saw it there, and you hope that with an additional year in the program, guys like Fletcher Loyer, guys like Braden Smith, will take an additional jump and be able to be more reliable from deep. You want to know that you can count on them in big games, in big moments, and I truly hope they do step up for that this year. One thing is that I think is looming large, hanging over this team, are expectations. The comparison will be made, I'm sure, a million times this year as we watch this Purdue team to the Virginia squad, who was the first team to lose as a number one seed, and then came back next year and won the whole thing. And Purdue is obviously, you look at the preseason rankings, anywhere from 2 to 4, I think, in the vast majority of them. And they're returning the National Player of the Year. They've got a highly respected coach in Matt Painter. And the expectations, I think, are going to be higher than they've been ever in the Matt Painter era. And there have been at least 2 years that come to mind where expectations were incredibly high. And that was the year that the baby boilers were going to be juniors. So that was Robbie Hummel, Etuan Moore, and Juwan Johnson, their junior year, when the team just began to just absolutely gel in the middle of Big Ten season before Robbie Hummel went down. And then there was the expectations for the very next season after it was announced that Hummel was coming, or everybody was coming back. And then, of course, Hummel tears his ACL in the preseason. So those 2 years come to mind as far as these could be the years when we break through to the Final Four. There have been a couple others, since Matt Painter has been here at Purdue, but those two are the ones that jump to mind. And I will say this: I didn't really believe last year's team was going to make the Final Four when we started the year. I thought they were going to be good, but not knowing what Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer were going to bring us, I think tempered my expectations. And I'm much more high on this year's team than I am on last year's. And I just, they lost so little from last year. I mean, David Jenkins Jr. obviously is gone. We lost a couple guys via the transfer portal, and all that, but what they bring in and what they're gaining will hopefully more than make up for it. And I'm very high and very sold on this team. And to me, the expectation, obviously saying the expectation is Final Four, is loaded, but I think that is the quality of the team that Purdue has, and that is what I really hope that the
Yeah, and I agree completely. The thing with having everyone come back too, is getting that extra year is so underappreciated. Of having an extra year of work just can make all the difference in the world. There's a reason that these small schools are often, you know, all seniors, because that experience is what drives them.
Yeah.
You know, obviously bigger programs, if you have better skilled players, it can make up for it, but having experience is incredible. And having experience that only two teams ever have can really drive you to a whole new level. You know, I think if Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer take the leap into their sophomore year, this team is absolutely unprecedented. And this is coming from last year where, you know, we didn't have the expectations of them or really anybody else coming into the season, not to the level that they showed. If you can do that, you know, what else is there to say other than this team is probably one of the best built teams Matt Painter's ever had? That being said, we always say that this looks like a Final Four team or this doesn't. Unfortunately, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, no one knows.
I mean, we really do, but we've never seen a Final Four team, so we just have to go by this team is better than an Elite Eight team. So it could go even further than a Final Four in theory. You know, we don't know the margin past the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16. We can set a bar, but we're hoping that this team hops that bar, and they look very poised to do so.
Yeah, I think that's right. And just to give you an idea of kind of where the fan base is and what they're expecting. So over on Hammer and Rails, we put out a bunch of content every week. So far, we've got, I believe, six stories about this upcoming game against Illinois. Between those six stories, that includes about roughly 10 comments. Now, I'm sorry, a little over 20, because the opening odds story had 19 themselves. But if you look at, we right now have two stories on the first day of basketball practice. Between those two stories, we have 276 comments as of this recording. So that just tells you how excited everyone is to get back to basketball season for Purdue, regardless of the how last season ended. I think it just says this fan base is ready to get back out there. And it really is the epitome of that classic GIF that everybody uses from The Office of Michael Scott. You know, there's no question about it. I am ready to get hurt again. That is Purdue basketball fandom in a nutshell.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that the football product compared to last season has gone down a little bit.
Yeah.
So you're a little bit more ready for basketball.
That's right. So any final thoughts before we take our break and head into Purdue's game against Illinois?
Nope. You used my Michael Scott quote. So.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad I could at least use it before you did, because now I look even smarter.
Yep. You know, quote me quoting you, just
exactly.
Like he quoted Gretzky.
Exactly. So there you go, folks. That is a look ahead at Purdue basketball. We're going to take our break, come back, and take a look at Purdue versus Illinois this Saturday, 3:30, only on Peacock. And we are back. So, as promised, look ahead to Saturday's game against Illinois. And as I said just before the break, this is a 3:30 kickoff. This is going to be broadcast only on Peacock. So this will be Purdue's first game on a streaming service, if I'm correct. And it is exclusively on Peacock. So this is not as if it's on Peacock and NBC. So for those listening, keep that in mind. You may have to get a phone call from your parents or your grandparents about what is Peacock, where is Peacock, how do I get Peacock. Do you have a Peacock login you could share with your grandpa or your dad? So, you know, keep that in mind, because that call may come Saturday at about 3:15. So just have that information handy. I know I subscribed to Peacock just before the season started because I knew I was going to need it for both football and basketball. Mm-hmm. Ryan, what about you?
I have had it for a while. We have Xfinity at my house, so we had it included for the longest time, and now I think once it went away or is going away, we have it. So
yeah. So
the only problem is you can't TiVo the game now.
Yeah, but I assume it. I think it just stays on there, so you can watch it later.
Oh, even better.
I think. Yeah, because I've glanced at like a Notre Dame game on there before when it first started, and I believe you can choose like once you click on it, you can choose to start from the beginning or you can just watch it live.
Gotcha. Sidebar, is TiVo still a thing?
I don't know if TiVo is still a thing. I would assume so, but like, who's buying TiVo at this point?
Exactly. You can pause TV in real time.
My oldest brother bought a TiVo like right when they came out, and it was like the coolest thing, you know, when they had it.
Yep, we had a TiVo.
And the TiVo website's still active, and they sell now a little like plug into your TV HDMI box kind of thing, like tiny, like a Chromecast size.
Okay, gotcha. So it
must be just like that stuff now only.
Grind never stops.
Yeah. So, this game is going to be on Peacock. I was like you. I had it through my Xfinity/Comcast subscription since it was launched, since they're owned by the same folks. And then they decided to get rid of that, and now you only get it free if you've been a subscriber for like 10 years or something. Since I am a subscriber, they gave me a discount, something like $3 a month for a year or something like that. So that's what I did. So I've got it all the way through this football season and the basketball season. But it's going to be an interesting experience because I've never sat down and watched an entire sporting event only via, you know, a streaming app like Peacock. You know, we've done ESPN3 or whatever for basketball games in the past, or the Big Ten Network streaming service, but never a football game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Yeah. So Illinois, I'll give you a brief primer of who they are and what they look like right now. But Ryan, I want you to go through who we need to look out for. But so right now, Illinois, a bit of a struggle. They're currently 2-2 on the year, and they don't exactly have wins over impressive teams. So they have won the games they were supposed to win, and they lost the games where you would expect them to lose. So nothing too terribly unexpected from them going in record-wise. They, of course, were the home of our current head coach, Ryan Walters. He was their defensive coordinator last year when they had the number one scoring defense in the country. It's a little different this year. They lost a lot of folks on both sides of the ball. Their defense especially has been a huge challenge for them. But Ryan, what, if anything, can you tell us about Illinois that we have not covered in the offseason? What have we learned during these first four games about Illinois?
Yeah, so we kind of touched in the original preview about their new incoming quarterback in Luke Altmaier, and it hasn't been the smoothest sailing for him. So he's got 7 interceptions on the year.
Oof.
In 4 games, that's not great.
No.
I think I want to say he had 4 against Penn State. He had a rough day against Penn State.
Yeah, and no touchdowns.
Right. So he's got 4 touchdowns and 7 picks on the year to go with just under 900 yards of passing. So not the world beater you were hoping for, but he's a quarterback, you know.
Yeah.
He's better than other quarterbacks in the nation, that's for sure. And it's not like Illinois is really completely relying on their rushing game either this season. They have Reggie Love, who's got basically 250 yards on the ground in 4 games, so 60 yards a game. Their second back is Josh McCray. He's got 120 yards on the season. So compare that to what you had last year in Brown, it's not great.
Right,
so
right.
The offense has had its struggles.
Yeah, I mean, they lost a lot. I think everybody has been saying this week how closely of a mirror image these two teams are. Both of them had great years. Purdue and Illinois both had great years last year. Purdue, of course, made it to the Big Ten championship game, won the West, whereas Illinois had the best scoring defense in the nation. And now they're both looking quite a bit different. They lost so much on both sides of the ball, whether it was to graduation or to the transfer portal. So they're both trying a bit to rebuild in this season. And I know fans and coaches alike really hate the term rebuild. They're like, mm-hmm. No one ever wants to say they rebuild. They always want to say they reload. But
yep.
It's just the fact of the matter. Unless you're a Michigan, a Ohio State, an Alabama, and even Alabama struggling this year, you're mm-hmm. gonna have rebuilding years. You know, it's nearly impossible for a team like Purdue to truly stay up at their best every single year. It's just not going to happen. And it is unfortunate, I think, that it's happened for Ryan Walters in his first year at the helm. But having your coach leave and then take a bunch of your recruits, commitments, and current players will really help escalate that problem. And while Illinois didn't have that exact same problem, you know, they've still got Burt, Brett, Billy. What's his name?
His name is Brett, but we call him Burt.
Which is just bizarre. I'll never understand that. he is still there. They did lose, you know, a bunch of guys to the NFL because they just had such a good season last year, especially on defense. But losing your top running back is a huge blow as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And mind you, he was almost in line for, like, being in a Heisman conversation too.
Yeah.
So just that's never fun. But as much as we thought that Illinois would struggle on offense just because of what they lost, they're still struggling very much on defense. I mean, I'm not so sure that everyone in Champaign expected the struggles they've had so far. It makes sense, you know, by what they lost to the NFL draft and our head coach is their defensive coordinator. But it's been pretty difficult. They have 5 sacks on the season. They have 4 takeaways.
Not good. Not good on either count there.
Right. So, I mean, and 2 of those 5 sacks are from by far their best player on defense in Jerzon Newton. Now, they call him Johnny Newton, and I didn't understand why. Maybe he couldn't pronounce it correctly, but he kept calling him Johnny Newton on the broadcast. So maybe that's what it goes by. But he is by far their best defensive player. He is probably going to go in the first round next season in the NFL draft, because he came back for an extra season. So, Illinois fans rejoice you got him back, but it's still just been an absolute struggle.
Yeah. And they have not done well in the secondary especially. Is that right?
Yes. So, I mean, they do have 3 interceptions, so
that's... I mean, in 4 games, plus. Though, so...
In 4 games. I mean, it's nothing is going to be the same compared to where they were last year.
Yeah.
It's just not. But, yeah, they're 3 takeaways, not too bad. But when you give up 28 to Toledo and you were down 34-7 to Kansas, 30-7 to Penn State, there's clear issues there.
Yeah.
There's no 2 ways around it.
So, yeah, no, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. They, you know, they've struggled on defense, and we know that, and hopefully Purdue can find a way to take advantage of it. But I think for most Purdue fans, I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier, and I should have asked at the time. With Luke Altmyer as their quarterback, how good of a runner is he? Is he going to run all over us like Syracuse did and like Wisconsin was able to? I mean, can every quarterback just do that against us now? Is this going to be a problem for every game? What are we looking at with this guy on the ground?
Yeah, so he's got 146 rushing yards on the season. So in between Aiden O'Connell and Garrett Schrader, he leans more towards Garrett Schrader, I think.
Okay.
He was actually the leading rusher for their first two games, where he had 69 and 70 yards against Toledo and Kansas.
Well, I don't love that information, Ryan.
Well, that being said, quick math, that's 139 yards. He has 146 on the season.
Okay, that's fair.
Sack yardage is a thing in this, however.
Yes.
But still, the majority of his rushing yards have not come in the last 2 weeks. So it might be a point where they actually want to protect their quarterback. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, something you might want to do.
Yeah. I really hope it is the case that they do not want him running. Not that I, you know, trust the Purdue secondary to go out there and make the plays and stop him from dominating through the air. But to me, the biggest problem with this Purdue defense right now is the ability to stop the quarterback from running. They just have not been able to do it. And if you can believe what you read about Altmyer, it seems like he may not have the best arm, doesn't have the best arm strength, might struggle with the deep throws. And that is truly where Purdue's secondary struggles the most, is allowing those receivers open on deep balls and allowing guys behind them. So if they have a quarterback who can't necessarily run the best and who can't necessarily throw the deep ball as well as they would like, I think that gives me a little bit of hope that the Purdue defense can find a way to slow them down.
Yeah. And honestly, I don't think that Ryan Walters is going to allow a quarterback to escape the pocket anymore. I think he's going to put all of his eggs in one basket to stop running quarterbacks, just because that is where Purdue fans have absolutely blasted him so far, and rightfully so. But, you know, it seems to be on a better trend. Tanner Mordecai didn't really do as much against Purdue as Garrett Schrader, but no one's really ever done as much as Garrett Schrader did.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
the only way to go is up.
I love your optimism. I am not on the same page as you, but I love it for you. And I hope you're right.
Okay.
I'm always rooting for Purdue. You know, I would come on here and be wrong every week if it turns out that I was wrong and Purdue did well. You know, Purdue did better than I thought. I will take that every week. But as far as being able to stop the quarterback and scheming a way to stop the quarterback, I'm not sure I'm entirely sold on Purdue being able to do that at this point. But again, would love to see it. Would love to see it.
Right. My biggest hope is that Purdue can dial up pressure this week. It seemed to help them against Wisconsin in the second half last week. And, you know, they got no pressure with four men rush last week. So as soon as they started sending five and six and upwards of eight people, pressure got to the quarterback, and it seemed to help a lot. Now, that being said, I do not think the Illinois offensive line is as effective as Wisconsin's. Illinois has let up 15 sacks so far on the season, so four a game, pretty much. That's encouraging.
Yeah, that's very good.
Nick Skorton and Kaijun Jenkins. So if those two can wreak havoc, that is going to be helpful. But again, they have to not wreak so much havoc so that Altmyer can find a lane and run for 12 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Seven times in a row. So.
Yeah. It's a fine line. It's a fine line for the Purdue defensive line. You know, they got to keep the quarterback contained, but they've also got to pressure him. They've also got to get to him, and they've got to finish plays. Purdue has gotten to the quarterback quite a bit. And they, honestly, the last two games even, they did a great job of getting in the backfield and getting to the quarterback, but could not wrap him up, could not bring him down. And ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter if you get back there and the guy scrambles for 10 yards and gets first down. The result is the same whether you got back there or not. So if they get back there, they've got to finish the plays, and that's what would make a huge difference for Purdue and could, you know, in theory, turn this game.
Yep, got to be disciplined. And speaking of discipline, I've got some penalty numbers.
Okay.
So, Illinois on the season has 28 penalties.
Okay, so seven a game?
Yep. Purdue has 29.
Okay. So, I was going to ask, but you, of course, read my mind. Because I have considered so far this year Purdue to be a very undisciplined team penalty-wise.
Yeah.
You know, and now that I'm sitting here and thinking of it, I feel like 7 penalties per game is a lot.
Yes.
That is a lot to get in one game. So it could be a highly penalized game coming up Saturday. I'm not sure if that favors one team or another. It sounds like we're both prone to penalties, so whoever, I guess, gets the luck of not being seen by the officials is.
Yeah, and whoever can get those penalties in non-key situations, yeah, so that the penalties don't derail drives.
Yeah.
Or negate 24-yard rushes.
Very specific.
Yeah. I mean, it was a killer a couple times last week.
It really was.
Can't have that. So I've also got some third down numbers.
Oh God, one of the Purdue defense's Achilles heels right there. Third down.
Yes. It's not exactly that much better for Illinois. So they have allowed 29 of 63 on defense on third down.
Okay. So almost 50%.
Correct. Now, that being said, Purdue was allowed 32 of 59.
Oh my gosh,
over
that's
50%.
Awful.
Mm-hmm. On offense, Illinois is 17 of 45.
Not good.
Yeah, so in the mid-30%, and Purdue is 23 of 56, which is like 45%.
Okay.
So, if trends stay as they are, Purdue should be getting off the field a little bit more often than they have been allowing. So, I don't know if that's encouraging or not.
I think it's a little encouraging, yeah.
But, I mean, obviously, things change. Sometimes you allow a team to go 8 of 8 to start a game, right, and their numbers change real quick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you look at just after that 8 of 8 start, Purdue did a decent job on third down against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But when you spot them in 8 out of their first 8, it's hard to really recover from that, just at least, you know, from a percent standpoint.
Right, right. So,
yeah.
So, lastly, I have some special teams numbers.
Okay, we love special teams. Let's do it.
All right. So, their kicker, Mr. Caleb Griffin, he has kicked the ball 11 times this year.
Okay.
3 field goals, he's made 2 of them, and 8 extra points, he's made 7 of them.
Not great.
No, not great, and not that much for 4 games.
Yeah.
So, and he is their only kicker to kick the ball so far. So Illinois is just not kicking it. But then again, when you're down 34-7 to Kansas, they went for 2 each
right
time.
Yeah.
Same with against Penn State, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get points. Got to get points.
Yeah, exactly. So you really don't know what to make of those numbers all the time. He's not bad. He just hasn't kicked that much.
Yeah. Yeah, hasn't really been given an opportunity. He could kick 10 more this year and only have that one miss. You just never know. Not a huge
right
sample size yet.
Yep. And their punter has punted 17 times for an average of 43.4.
That's a pretty good average.
Yeah. I will say that's about the same for Jack Ansell.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's Big Ten punting. Even your average punters are still kicking the ball
well. Big life, big stage, big legs, Big Ten.
Yes, absolutely. So I do have a Sickos punt game.
Okay.
Now
I have been to Champaign. I know the game is in Ross-Ade, but this game we generally go from their stadium. So I've been to Champaign.
Right.
I've been to a football game at their stadium, and I've been to a concert at their basketball stadium. And
okay.
I'll just a quick story. When we went to the concert, it was Foo Fighters and Weezer at Champaign, in Champaign at Assembly Hall there. And mm-hmm. we were walking to the arena, and there was just like a trophy room open. And me and my brother and our friend Kramer just like took pictures with these random trophies that were just sitting around the Illinois sports facilities. And if we were people who had lesser morals, we would own those trophies. But fortunately for Illinois, we did not take them with us. So
was one of those trophies the cannon?
No, it was not. If it was the cannon, I would have considered taking it. just because that is part of a rivalry. You leave the trophy unattended, someone's going to grab it. But I did not do that, no.
Okay. So props on you for being a morally high-standing citizen.
Yeah, I would have had to disclose that in my character and fitness for the bar exam.
Right. Okay. All right, so you've been to Champaign.
I have.
This is their kicker, kicking at a 43.4-yard clip.
Okay.
He would have to kick the ball 5,110 times, which is actually really short from what we've been doing.
I was going to say, 5,110 punts?
Yes.
Okay, so that's... Okay, go ahead.
It's less than 200 miles.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's about 140 miles?
120.
Okay. I mean, for doing that in my head, that was not bad.
Hey, that was pretty good, yeah.
Okay. Is it literally from their stadium to Ross Aid?
No.
Oh, because I know that's pretty close.
Close, though. Very close, yeah.
The opposite direction? To the Beef House.
The Beef House. Nope, not quite.
Okay, I don't know.
It is, you mentioned it earlier.
Oh, no.
It is the Soldier Field.
Oh, okay. All right.
Home of former Illinois head coach Lovie Smith and a terrible football team.
Yeah. Hey, Lovie Smith, also former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach.
There we go. So, see, I made it relevant.
You did. Yeah, I was like, it had to have been somewhere. I mean, that was just such a short distance. I couldn't imagine where.
Yes. Yeah. Also, one of like the 40 stadiums in the country that's called Memorial Stadium.
Yeah, it's such a bland.
Yeah, I can't really say anything. The Bears play in Soldier Field.
Yeah,
think its official name is Soldier Field Memorial Stadium.
That's just, something like that. Yeah, that's not great. Not great.
So,
all right. So we have come to the part of the podcast where we go on the record. Just reminder of last week, you picked a Purdue victory. I picked a Purdue loss. So I am now 2-2 on the season. You are 1-3.
Yep. So, same record as Purdue.
That's right. So I will let you go first. What's your score and who you got?
Ugh. I've got Purdue because I am who I am. That's I am fair. A homer. So I will go... 27-23.
Okay. All right. I've been conflicted about this all day as I knew we were going to record, so I was trying to think of which way I wanted to go. I read the articles that Drew and Garrett wrote about the Illinois offense, the Illinois defense. I took a look at what they've done this season, and they really have just not been impressive.
Right.
They've not looked anything like the team that we saw last year, which Purdue won last year. But again, Purdue doesn't look like they did last year. So you don't know which team is going to be able to put it together, because I don't think either of these teams have truly shown what they can be. I think the Purdue offense probably has more talent on it right now than the Illinois offense. I think if the Illinois secondary struggles as much as they have recently, Hudson Card can carve them up, and that is why I am picking Purdue, but I'm picking a lower scoring game than most, and a little bit lower than yours, but not too terribly much. I'm going Purdue 24-21.
Okay. So neither of us have them covering.
I think it's... No, we do. We do, because right now it's...
We both have the under.
Yeah. I think... What was it? 50-something?
53.5. Yeah, so I'm hitting the under by 2.
Yeah, I'm taking the under at 45 right now. So, yeah, I can't get a feel for this Purdue team. They're either going to score, 7 or 40. I have no idea. They're an enigma to me so far.
Yeah, if they can put it together for 4 quarters in a row, this team can be a nightmare for defenses.
Yeah.
They've only had... a solid, what, two quarters this season?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Fresno State game was probably their most balanced game. But
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, and it was a shame that the Virginia Tech game was, you know, paused when it was, because Purdue really looked
right.
good their first two drives, stopped in the middle of that second drive. And, you know, maybe they had something cooking there. Maybe it would have been a lot different outcome on the offensive end. But, you know, you get a 6.5, whatever hour delay, come back. You still win the game, so it doesn't matter. All is forgiven. But I think they would have been able to maybe put something a little bit together offensively, and maybe that would have changed kind of the tenor of the season. But who knows? We can't go back in time and change it. So there we go.
Yep.
Ryan and I both picking a win. Surprising. But this does prevent him from catching me in our little competition here. So that is good. I will take that. But, you know, again, I'm always here. Even if I pick against Purdue, I'm always rooting for Purdue, and I would be gladly wrong. But this week, picked Purdue, so I'm hoping to be right. Ryan, any final thoughts on Illinois?
I actually have one more shout-out to give. And it's honestly to Purdue fans. I know Purdue has yet to win at home this season. And they will look to do so for the first time for homecoming, for a trophy game under Ryan Walters this year. And, like, the crowds that have come for the first three games have been incredible. It's nearly a sellout each and every game. And they haven't looked incredible at home. We understand the defense is working on it, but that doesn't stop Purdue from showing out. And shout out to Purdue fans everywhere.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. The crowds have been really, really good, really energetic. And I believe at least one of the games has been a sellout. And I believe this one against Illinois is very, very close. I think they said today there were less than 100 tickets available. So it very well could be sold out by now, because that was this afternoon. So kudos to Purdue fans, and hopefully that just shows that this choice to invest more in the football program really will pay dividends in the future. So hope to see you all Saturday. For those of us watching, remember, nothing but Peacock on Saturday. So really looking forward to seeing how that goes. For Ryan and myself, boiler up.
Hammer down.